Some of the most beautiful music we sing at this time of the year. I just love Christmas music. In fact, Kim loves Christmas music. Kim loves Christmas music so much that she plays it year-round. And in the summertime, she'll put it on. And if she's doing housework, she'll put the Christmas music on really loud and turn it up. You can hear it outside, and she has a Christmas music. I don't know if is it putting the Christmas music on puts you in the mood and makes house cleaning more fun. It makes her happy, fills her with joy. And it can, because Christmas music can make us feel joyful. There's a lot of good songs out there, like Have a Holly Jolly Christmas, and a lot of full joy, fun ones and sacred ones as well. But in fact, Christmas is a time that it has a whole season devoted to music just for that particular time of the year. But have you ever stopped to consider how much music is a part of Christmas? We have that whole season dedicated to it. And there are a lot of great songs this time of year. And I'm sure everybody here has your favorite. And if I'd ask you, what is your favorite Christmas song? We probably have maybe a couple that might be on top of the list. I know Gene does. For him, it's Away in the Manger. But we have our favorites that we like. But I know for Kim, her favorite Christmas song is any Christmas song that's sung by Donny Osmond. And she's got the Osmond Christmas album. And she'll put that on and she'll listen to that. And believe me, it's not short. It's a long one. And anything by Donny Osmond, of course, she would love and think that's the most wonderful, greatest Christmas song ever. The most magnificent one. For me, I think the most magnificent Christmas song ever, Christmas music ever, is Handel's Messiah. Handel, who wrote that in just 40-some short days, and the music of the Handel's Messiah and the strains that go up just can't help but lift your spirit and lift you in focus and praise to God. In fact, so great was that great hallelujah chorus that it moved the king to stand, and everybody else, that tradition continues. A close second to the Hallelujah Chorus to me would be any Christmas song sung by Karen Carpenter or Dolly Parton. But we all have our favorites. When Karen Carpenter sings, I just melt. But so we have our favorites, but music has been a part of Christmas from the very beginning. Yeah, we sing our Christmas songs now. A lot of good ones out there. But from the very beginning, from the very first Christmas, music has been such a vital and instrumental part of it. Through this Advent journey, we are going to look at the first original songs of Christmas. And we're going to listen to the songs as they were originally sung by the original artists. And from that, our hearts are going to be encouraged. This series that I've called There Is a Song in the Air. And today we're going to begin with Mary's Song, which is definitely a magnificent and one of the most magnificent Christmas songs ever. In fact, so magnificent is it that it was given the name the Magnificat. And that's what it's actually called. And the Magnificat, these words of this scripture that I just read, has inspired so many chorals and so many songs have been written right there from this scripture alone. As we listen to the Song of Mary. Today that's been put into the song Mary, Did You Know? Perhaps what she was experiencing during this time in her life. But Mary, as we come to chapter 1, beginning at verse 46, Mary sang this song of praise, and it is a song of praise to God, right after she had been told and visited as a young girl, and it's believed that she's probably around 13 or 14 years of age. As a young girl, she was visited by the angel Gabriel, who came to her and told her she was going to have a child. And not only was she going to have a child, but he was going to be the very Son of God himself. And she said, well, how can this be? I'm a virgin, and I've not known any man. And God said, the angel said, the power of God will overshadow you, so that the one to be born in you will be called the Son of God. And she said, well, how can this be? And he said, with God, nothing is impossible. And she said, let it be to me as you've said. And she had just been visited by the angel. And imagine all that was going through her mind as a young girl of 13, 14 years of age, alone getting pregnant at that time, but in such a way. And imagine all that she was dealing with. So she left and she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And on arrival of her cousin Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth ran out to meet her and greeted her and said, "How am I so favored that the mother of my God would come to me?" Now, Elizabeth didn't know. Mary had not told anybody at this point. But God had confirmed through Elizabeth what he was yet to do. And in response to that, she sings this song of praise to God. And through it, it has two main parts. She prays, gives her personal praise to him and her general praise to him. And this hymn, this song, teaches us two things about how we need to praise God as well today and how we should praise God in our daily life. So let's look at the most magnificent Christmas song ever and see what we can learn for our life. First, the song teaches us that we need to praise him for his care for us. To praise him for his care for us in our daily life and all that we experience. And she opens the song with that by saying, "My soul glorifies the Lord," or "magnifies the Lord." That word "magnifies" means to enlarge, to make great. "And my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." She praised him because God cared for her personally. And you and I, in our praise to the Lord, need to sing a song of praise to him because he personally cares for you. And you know how much he cares for you? Mary said it in this song and she shares it with us. Because he cares for you so much that his eyes are fixed on you. The eyes of the Lord are fixed on you and your own personal life. Notice what he says. "I praise him and I give glory to the Lord and I magnify him because he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." That word "mindful" means that he has looked on me, that he has taken notice of me, that he sees me, that he knows and he's focused on me because he looks on us with favor. In verse 28, he said to her, "Greetings, you are highly favored." And the Lord looks on you as his child with favor and grace. And you can praise him this morning for his care for you. That when we know him and our hearts are inclined to him in faith, we have his favor. And we can rest in that. But his eyes are fixed on us because he is focused on our need. He notices us. She said, "Lord, I praise him because he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." He noticed her. And nothing escaped his attention. And Mary praises God that he had noticed her. And she might have felt unnoticed in the midst of all that she was going through. Now imagine a 13, 14-year-old, getting pregnant without being married in that situation, in that time. It had a big stigma to it. She didn't know how people would respond when they found out the news. She didn't know how her family and what they would say. And she didn't know how Joseph would respond. And I'm sure her heart was all kind of things were going through her mind. What's Joseph going to say when he finds out? Is he going to abandon me and leave me on my own? This was before God had spoken to Joseph and told him. And is he going to leave me? Is he going to leave me to care for this child by myself? Is everybody going to turn their back on me? What am I going to face? And I'm sure those things going on in her mind, her heart was, she was, when she said, "Lord, let it be to me," she was taking all that willingly. And in your life, we all go through those times when we're going through turmoil within us. Or we're going through trials, or we're going through things, and we wonder, does anybody even care? Does anybody even know what I'm going through? Does anybody even, not even know, but does anybody even care how I feel? And Mary might have felt that way. Does anybody care how I feel, what I'm going through right now? And she praised God that he was mindful of her. That he took care, that he noticed her in the midst of all that she was going through. When we were on vacation down in Tennessee a couple weeks ago, we were driving one morning and not too far from our cabin. And it was in the morning as we were leaving to go out to begin our day. It was early. And we were not gone too far from our cabin, back this mountain road, to discover some things back in there. And I'm looking on my phone, and I'm trying to do some things. I don't remember what I was doing. I was doing something on my phone. And Kim says, "Look at that. Did you see that?" And I said, "What?" She said, "Did you see that?" I said, "No." And here was a mountain lion that went. She said, "You didn't see it?" I said, "No, I didn't see it." But she noticed it, but I was too busy, preoccupied with what I was doing, and I missed it. You know, and sometimes we feel that way. We get too preoccupied with our own things, with our own problems, and we focus in on ourselves. And here, God, we think nobody really notices me, but God does. And he notices and is aware of all that you and I are going through. And we can sing that song of praise to him, that what you do, sometimes we feel that what we do often goes unnoticed. That what we do, nobody really cares. Do they even know how I'm feeling? Is anybody even interested? And we feel that nobody really cares about me or interested in what I do sometimes. And Mary was overwhelmed that the Mighty One, the Creator, the God of the ages, was mindful of her. And that overwhelmed her. In the midst of all that God has to do, in the midst of him as the Creator and Sovereign Lord and keeping the world as it says in the palms of his hand and keeping it so that everything holds together, in the midst of all of that, he notices you. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that a reason to praise him? Our heart should be full of praise because he cares for us that much. He took notice of the one sheep when the shepherd had 99, had 100, and he had 99 that came back, and one was out lost. And he was noticed of that one that was gone. He could have said, "Oh, I have 99 here. I that's okay." But no, he noticed the one that was missing. And what did he do? He went after it. That's the kind of God we have. That should be a reason to rejoice this Christmas season, because we have a God who cares for us that intimately and that deeply. He knows, and his eyes are fixed on you. He is aware of our situation. And whatever your situation is in life, whatever, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's some medical condition or test you're facing right now that has you full of anxiety, he knows that situation, and he is very much aware of it, and he is able to meet it, because nothing escapes his attention. She did not know at this point what Joseph was going to do, but she trusted God, and she praised him that his eyes were so fixed on her so intimately, that he cared about her that deeply. And also, as his eyes are fixed on us, he cares for us. But he also cares for us because nothing escapes his attention. But he will also act on our behalf. Notice what she says here. She says, "He has been mindful of me, the humble state of his servant. His eyes are fixed on me. He's taken notice of me. He knows how I feel. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what I'm struggling with right now. He's very much aware of that." But she also praises him when she says, "He has done great, the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Now, she makes that statement and sings that praise to God that the Holy One has done great things for me. I want to ask you a question. Was Jesus born yet? No. Did the fulfillment come yet? No. This hasn't happened yet. But yet she praised him anyway, as it already occurred. That's the kind of faith she had. And know that he has and he will do great things for me, because he's done great things for me in the past. And he was faithful to me in the past, and he'll do great things for me now. And she had faith to believe that the promise was already fulfilled. And she said, he has done great things for me. This was before the angel had come to Joseph. She didn't know how Joseph was going to respond, but yet she said, Lord, I praise you because you've done great things in my life. In the past, and you're going to do great things for me through this. And I know you're going to bring it out to something great and glorious, so I trust you. She had faith to believe that the answer, and answer had already come. Has God done great things for you? He's done great things for all of us, hasn't he? And we can give him praise this morning because he cares about us that much, that he will act on your behalf. He will respond and do great things for us. He will act on your behalf. He will not only knows and is aware, but he will respond to that need and act on our behalf to care for it. And he will reveal his glory. In verse 49, he says that the Mighty One, she says, the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And she praised God because she believed that he was going to get glory through what she was going through in life. The situation, this unexplained, unplanned pregnancy that she was dealing with, that God was going to bring glory to himself through it. And this time that she was facing, and not only emotionally that she was going through, but physically, all the changes that she was going to go through to carry him. And those of you that have delivered children know. And all that she was taking on herself at a young age. But God was mindful and cared for her, and knew that, and she knew that he was going to bring glory to himself through this. And she praised him for his care. So give praise to God. We learn from her song, give praise to God for his care for you and how much personally he's done in your life. That he notices you, his eyes are fixed on you like a laser. In the midst of all that going on in the world, he is very much aware of you. And he concerns and he cares and he will act on your behalf. He will do great things in your life. Do you believe that? He already has, and he will continue to. And that's a reason to praise him as we go into this Advent season. She gave God praise for his care. But second, from this song, Magnificent Christmas Song Ever, we see that we need to praise him for his mercy on us. Not only his care for us, but his mercy that he shows and bestows to all. And the second part of her hymn, of her song of praise, verses 50 to 55 is more general. The first two verses is specific and personal to her. And she praised God for how he personally watched over her and cared for her. But now she praises God for the fact that he is merciful to all. And he shows his mercy on everybody, and that's why Jesus came. That he came to bring salvation to the world, the whole world. And his love was not contained to a few, was it? His love was for the entire world. And so she gave praise, and we need to praise God that he is indeed merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in love to all who will. Praise him for his mercy shown on us because his love endures forever. In verse 50, she says his mercy, or another translation of that is loving kindness. In the Old Testament, that word is translated a lot, loving kindness. And his mercy, it endures and is extended on those who fear him and from one generation to another. meaning it wasn't contained to those who went before us, but from one generation to another, it extends, it's everlasting, it endures forever, that his loving kindness and mercy is extended on all who accept and believe, and is available to all of us. And there is nothing that we can ever do that would cause him to stop being loving to us. There's nowhere we can ever go the route of his reach, because it extends forever and ever and endures. It endures all things. No matter what we do. But he also showed mercy on us because he gives grace to the humble. In verses 51 and 52, it says that he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. And he has filled the hungry with good things. He has brought down rulers and lifted up the humble, and performed mighty deeds with his arms, and scattered those who were proud in their inmost thoughts. The scripture says that God resists the proud, but gives his grace to who? To the humble. And when we have that humbleness of heart, and it was why the Lord chose Mary, because he knew that her heart was humble and inclined to him. And a heart that is humble, it is a heart that is inclined to the Lord. It's a heart that says, Lord, I realize that without you, I am nothing. Without you, I can't survive. You are the one, every breath I breathe comes from you, and I'm totally dependent on everything for every day. That's what it means to be humble, realizing that without the Lord and his strength, we are nothing. Without him, we can't survive, can we? And he gives his grace to those who realize that. To those who realize that it's only through him. When we trust in our own ability, our own strength, then there's no grace there. It's extended to those who are humble, and he exalts those. And Jesus demonstrated that by his own life. But he came in humility and was placed in a stable, in a barn, not in a palace, but in humility, showing the way and gave the example for us to follow. Praise him for his mercy on us, for his love enduring forever, his grace given to the humble. But third, she says, because he provides, he shows mercy, and that he provides for our needs. In verse 53, she says, he has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. Again, he's provided our needs. And when we trust in him, he will provide for us. And he will fill the hungry. And that hungry there can have a double meaning. Just as Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, or they will be satisfied. And that hungering means having a hunger for God and knowing that there's that emptiness and that longing and that desire that we have to be filled and satisfied within, that people look and everywhere to find. Gail and I were having that conversation just Friday. Remember, Gail? About how people were looking for that and look in so many different ways in the world to find that emptiness that only Jesus can fill. But he fills the hungry. He satisfies that. And he provides not only that, but the hungry, the physical needs too. He is the provider spiritually and physically of all that we need through him. And that's how he shows mercy to us and to all. And Mary praises God for that. And we as well need to praise him for how every day he is merciful to us. Every day he cares for us, noticing our need and responding on our behalf, but also showing mercy. And he also extends his mercy to us by that he keeps his promises. Verse 44 and 54 and 55, she praises him because she says, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And she said, I praise you, Lord, because you remembered and kept your word, that all those years earlier, he made a promise to Abraham that through his descendants, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And that he would raise up the descendants of Abraham, and they would become as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. But through them, all the nations of the world would be blessed, because through them, him, the Messiah, would come. All those years had passed, hundreds of years had passed, thousands of years had passed from when God gave that promise to Abraham to that time of Mary. And maybe they thought in the midst of the waiting, they were beginning to lose heart and lose hope. And God has made promises to us in his word. And sometime in the midst of what we're going through and the waiting, we get tired of the waiting sometimes, and we begin to lose heart and lose hope. But God always keeps his promises, right? In his time and his way, he will do what he said. And we can take it to the bank, and we can count on it and rely on it as true. And that's part of the way he shows his mercy. He keeps his word. He keeps his promises. There's a lot of great Christmas songs out there. And as we sell the first magnificent Christmas song ever, the one sung by Mary, she praises him. And as we learn to praise him too, for his care for us and his mercy on us. As we begin this Christmas season, begin by singing that praise to the Lord for his personal care for you, his mercy shown to you and to me. And that's what Christmas is all about. That God left the glories of heaven. The Word was made flesh, wrapped himself in humanity, and became man so that God could come to us and our lives could be changed forever. If that's not a reason to rejoice and a reason to burst out in song and in praise. There's a song in the air. Christmas music, we hear it all around us. And as you're going through this time of the year and you hear all these Christmas songs going, some of them are funny, some of them are secular, some are just winter, some have nothing to do with Christmas. And that frustrates me. Because I hear some of them and I say to Kim, that has nothing at all to do with Christmas. Don't that frustrate you? It does me. It has nothing to do with Jesus and why he's here. But in the midst of all those songs that are out there filling the air, remember that it's all about him. And lift up that song of praise to his care for you and his mercy that he extends to us through Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you care about us so much. That Mary praised you in this song from her heart because you noticed her situation and you took notice of what she was going through. You understood how she was feeling. You understood the conflict within her own heart. As she, as a single, unwed mother at this point, became pregnant. And all that the ridicule she may have been facing and didn't know what people would say about her or think of her or even how Joseph would respond. You took notice of that. And she praised you because you cared for her that much. When she thought nobody else cared, you did. And Lord, we thank you that you take notice of us. That right now, the things that are going on in our life, the struggles that we've had this week, the things that challenges that we've had that nobody else may even be aware of, you know. And you notice those. And you very much are aware and you care deeply, personally, and intimately. And we praise you for that. Nothing escapes your attention. You are mindful of the lowly estate of your servants. And we thank you that you do great things for us. You act on our behalf. That you understand and you will work everything out for good to bring glory to yourself through all that we face. So thank you for your care and we praise you for your care for us. We also thank you for your mercy. That your love is unfailing and everlasting. That you provide for all that we need. You keep your word and your promise. And your grace is freely given to those who acknowledge you. And realize that without you we are nothing. So thank you, Lord, for this Christmas song. And as we continue to look at the songs in your word. And the leading up to the Christmas time. Continue to fill our hearts overwhelming with praise for who you are, for your goodness, and for what you've done, especially at this time of the year. And may we not be distracted by all the other songs we hear out there that take us away from what you have truly done in Jesus, your Son and our Savior. And it's in his mighty and strong name we ask this prayer. Amen.